Chapter 13, Additional Factors During Multinational Operations. This chapter provides additional factors to commanders to help them assign key roles and responsibilities and to improve the operational effectiveness of the force. It addresses support for fires, engineer, geospatial, security force assistance, and countering weapons of mass destruction. Lastly, this chapter provides planning considerations for commanders and staffs. Military capabilities. Military capabilities differ based on national interests and objectives, national character, doctrine, training, leader development, organizations, and materiel. Multinational commanders consider the unique abilities and limitations of each nation when deciding how to allocate resources and employ assets. United States forces provide robust capabilities for many of the additional considerations this chapter discusses. However, countries cannot always share and employ their organic assets evenly across the force. Fire support. The multinational force commander ensures that the force develops good fire support coordination. This optimizes the effects of fires and minimizes the possibility of fratricide, collateral damage, and disruption to the civilian populace. Fire support coordination in multinational operations demands special arrangements with multinational force members and local authorities. These special arrangements include communication and language requirements, liaison personnel, and interoperability procedures. A multinational force fire support staff establishes SOPs for fire support to achieve the most effective results for use by the multinational force. Effective joint fire support contributes to multinational success. Effective control of multinational force firepower is the key to its use. The staff analyzes whether resources and requirements are balanced correctly to support the multinational campaign or operation. Staff analysis of firepower also ensures an appropriate balance of forces and capabilities exist. Joint detailed integration of joint fire support with maneuver of the multinational force is critical. Refer to JP3-09 and ADP3-19 for more information on fires. Engineer support. Multinational forces require multiple engineer support functions. Engineers are responsible for supporting several operational environment functions, including combat engineering, mobility, countermobility and survivability, general engineering, geospatial engineering, this is referred to as geomatic by some multinational forces, defense support of civil authorities and stability operations, environmental considerations. Refer to FM3-34 and JP3-34 for more discussions of the engineer operational environment functions and engineer operations. The tasks associated with the three engineer operational environment functions include providing a full range of operational and tactical level combat engineering, mobility, countermobility, and survivability support, providing a full range of general engineering support. This includes protection construction, diving, firefighting, facilities engineering, environmental considerations, infrastructure, sustainment support, and power generation and distribution. In some services and multinational forces, engineer support includes seaburn functions, providing a full range of operational and tactical level geospatial engineering support. To ensure efficient and effective engineer effort, the multinational headquarters requires both a senior engineer and a supporting engineer staff to plan and coordinate engineer efforts to support the multinational commander's plan. The senior engineer and associated staff controls force-level designated engineer units on behalf of the multinational commander. This control includes planning, setting engineer standards, supervising and coordinating, controlling engineer support to the force and, when necessary, to the local population, potentially exercising C2 for other non-engineer capabilities and assets. Engineers are also responsible for managing civilian engineer contractors who complete tasks in the AO. Control of engineer support aligns with the multinational commander's priorities and intent. Multinational commanders and staffs remain aware of the significant difference in the doctrinal traditions between NATO allies and former Warsaw Pact militaries, particularly when it comes to the role of engineer assets in traditional combat engineering functions. While NATO battalion and brigade combat team commanders are accustomed to the decentralized integration of engineer operations at the tactical level, former Warsaw Pact nations have traditionally employed these assets in a much more centralized manner at division and corps levels. As a result, tactical commanders perform engineering tasks associated with building integrated obstacles and mutually supporting engagement areas at the battalion and brigade levels. An understanding of these tasks and many other differing doctrinal traditions manage expectations and result in better integration of multinational forces. Geospatial support. The successful conduct of land operations relies on commanders at all levels understanding the terrain where operations are conducted. The better the understanding of this terrain, the greater the degree of certainty of successful prosecution of operations. Up-to-date and accurate geospatial information enhances geospatial knowledge and situational understanding. It also helps commanders understand more clearly how terrain influences operations. Multinational force commanders and staffs receive geospatial information. This information comes from the host nation, one or more multinational partners, or a combination of sources. This information increases friendly advantages and minimizes the adversary's advantage gained by local knowledge. The information provided helps the force commander to understand, visualize, and describe an operational environment and further direct, lead, and assess military operations. Timely and relevant topographic support has the potential to be a significant combat multiplier in multinational operations. A geospatial specialist can quickly acquire and provide appropriate and relevant geospatial information. This is generally a resource-intensive undertaking. Topographic support relies on availability of a fundamental layer of geospatial information. Each nation provides topographic support to its national component forces, but efficiencies and synergies come from this support. This is particularly true with acquiring and providing the geospatial data set. As a guiding principle, one nation has lead responsibility to acquire and provide geospatial information with other nations assigned supporting roles. This division of responsibilities is a high-priority requirement addressed early in the planning. The highest command-level echelon coordinates geospatial information because of the complexities involved with acquiring and providing it. The Multinational Force Engineer Commander coordinates geospatial information. Longer-term information densification and maintenance responsibilities also need to be addressed early in planning. This is in case the multinational force remains in that AO for a long duration or units have been compromised. The Multinational Force Engineer Commander has access to an appropriate level of topographic advice from the engineer staff assigned. Security Force Assistance Support. The Army conducts Security Force Assistance, SFA, missions when it has the objective to increase the capability and capacity of Allied and Partner Nation Foreign Security Forces, FSFs, and their supporting institutions, enabling their interoperability, and provide the United States government access, presence, and influence. Develop situational understanding, enhance FSF and Joint Force interoperability. Ultimately, SFA aims to create FSFs that are competent, capable, committed, and confident. Such FSFs build a security apparatus that supports United States policy related to achieving regional stability. UAPs conduct SFA to address deficiencies in FSF capabilities or capacity, improve multinational interoperability, or demonstrate resolve and support. Each multinational SFA effort is unique, dynamic, analyzed, and framed to accommodate both United States objectives and foreign partner concerns and constraints. To increase the effectiveness of SFA activities, planners thoroughly assess and analyze the following throughout planning, preparation, and execution of the operation: an operational environment, including civil and socio-cultural considerations, legal and fiscal authorities, the core grievances and potential threats, possibly including the prerequisites of insurgency, FSF institutional functions, governance, executive, generating, and operating, methods, successes, and failures of FSF security efforts, the state of training at all levels and the specialties and education of leaders, FSF equipment and the priority and capability placed on maintaining that equipment, sustainment and infrastructure structure and the ability to meet the force's requirements, laws, regulations, and doctrine governing the FSF and their relationships to national leaders, theater security cooperation plans, integrated country strategies, operation plan or concept plan requirements, other provisional or specialized SFA teams as needed. The United States tailors its contribution to multinational forces to support a multinational SFA effort. Support may include one or more of these sources: Special Operations Forces, Conventional Forces, SFABs, Ministry of Defense Advisors, Civilian Expeditionary Workforce, Contract Support to SFA. When operating inside an established joint operations area, the DoD is usually the lead agency, with the United States Department of State as the supporting agency. In this scenario, SFAB commanders operate in the DoD-nested concept of operations for SFA. Under most circumstances, when operating in an established joint operations area, a SFAB is assigned to the Joint or Combined Force Land Component Commander for employment. If given responsibilities outside of its primary SFA mission, the SFAB requires augmentation to conduct terrain management, information collection, CMO, air and ground movement control, clearance of fires, security, personnel recovery, medical support, and other functions based on the environment. That augmentation can come in the form of other military forces or, in some cases, FSFs. The SFAB works best when its higher headquarters, in coordination with the partnered nation or security force, gives its objectives for developing or integrating FSFs. Usually, this is done through a tactical control relationship between senior SFAB commanders and their next higher headquarters. This allows SFAB commanders and staffs to use their advisors and resources against those objectives in a manner best suited to accomplish the SFA mission and expand the amount of available interoperable combined combat power. Properly established command and support relationships are critical to the success of the SFAB and its SFA mission. The SFAB's Army Service Component Command Headquarters consider the following SFAB traits prior to establishing their command relationships. SFABs are optimized to operate at the advisor team level. Breaking teams apart degrades their ability to conduct advisor team activities. SFABs can task organize advisor teams from across a brigade against unique FSF requirements by location. SFABs are designed to manage, coordinate, and adjust SFA tasks at the tactical and operational levels to support strategic goals. SFABs have no capability to conduct independent combat operations against an enemy force. SFABs have a very limited ability to sustain themselves. SFABs expand combined combat power up to two echelons above a unit type. For instance, a captain-led team could integrate a battalion, and a lieutenant-colonel-led battalion advising team could integrate a division. SFABs enable partner forces access to joint fires and effects. Countering Weapons of Mass Destruction Support. Despite the existence of a broadly accepted regime of international agreements, adversaries continue to develop and field weapons of mass destruction, WMD, to gain an advantage against the United States and its allies. To prevent, dissuade, or deny adversaries or potential adversaries from possessing or proliferating WMD, United States forces work with UAPs to support countering WMD prevention, protection, and response efforts. The United States, its partners, and allies face an increasing WMD threat from actors who operate transregionally and require United States forces and allies to counter with a coordinated approach. The DoD contributes to the United States government efforts by providing joint forces to deter the use of WMD. Countering weapons of mass destruction, CWMD operations have a greater likelihood of success if planned in cooperation with allies and partner nations. Countering weapons of mass destruction are efforts against actors of concern to curtail the conceptualization, development, possession, proliferation, use, and effects of weapons of mass destruction, related expertise, materials, technologies, and means of delivery, JP3-40. Unity of command and unified action are essential to CWMD. CWMD shaping activities planned and executed in cooperation with partners can alleviate concerns regarding acquiring, developing, or using WMD and alleviate the need for more aggressive and costly action later. Refer to JP3-40 for details on CWMD operations. CWMD programs are a part of a network. When operating with a partner or host nation, it can be expected and generally encouraged for the partner or host nation to take the lead in dealing with the local populace. A host nation understands the adversary language and culture, making the host nation better at communicating transportation, financing, production, and storage capabilities to other partners. An in-country source understands the WMD threat an adversary might use. Language similarities between partners or host nations and adversaries may aid in information collection. Multinational doctrine helps guide employing the forces of two or more nations in coordinated action. In some cases, multinational doctrine is required for CWMD. For example, NATO has developed doctrine for seaborne defense and CWMD. The increased potential of forces to encounter seaborne hazards during CWMD activities necessitates planning interoperability of warning and reporting systems. Standardization of reports among partner nations improves communication. Partners prepare standardized reports to clearly communicate WMD hazards to enable understanding and response. Many partner nations use NATO Allied Technical Publication 45 to standardize exchanging seaborne information. Integrated multinational sustainment may improve efficiency and effectiveness, but unique national equipment requirements for seaborne environments pose challenges. Operations in seaborne environments can increase demand on the logistics system for consumables that may be unique to each nation. For example, filter systems and protection equipment may not be interoperable with all nations. The United States and many NATO countries may follow NATO standardization recommendations and STANAGs to unify standards. During planning, seaborne staffs of the United States and partner nations perform capability gap analysis to understand where interoperability exists and where separate logistics are required. Planning the dismantling of WMD facilities, stockpiles, or programs is required to prevent reconstitution of any WMD programs. If directed, operational commanders and staffs facilitate the transfer of CWMD operations to other United States government agencies, international agencies, or host nations to continue destruction, monitoring, and redirection activities. If transfer is not directed, commanders stand prepared to complete the remaining activities and request coordination with and technical assistance from applicable agencies as necessary. Considerations. To help commanders and staff in planning operations, the following considerations are provided for other support. Fire support planning. Commanders and staffs consider and answer the following fire support planning questions with respect to multinational operations. What is the nature of the multinational operation? For example, is it littoral or land and air phases? Where is the operation in the range of military operations? What are the development and dissemination of surface-to-surface and air-to-surface ROE? Are the ROE agreed upon and understood by multinational forces according to national caveats? Are request procedures streamlined and tested? What is the likely duration of the operation? What are the issues of rotation and sustainability? Are there contingency measures to meet the requirement for increased force levels? Will it be from national backfilling or fall under a call-up of reserve forces policy? What is the intended end state and exit strategy? What is the commander's intent? is the national asset authority understood and agreed upon by multinational forces? Where is the AO? How does the AO affect the climatic, terrain, cultural, political, language, and socioeconomic issues? What is the overall multinational force structure? What capabilities are at the multinational level, which will provide national support only? What fire support assets is the multinational force providing? What are their capabilities and command status? What is the desired fire support organization for early entry forces? What is the deployment time frame? How will the deployment be carried out, land, sea, or air? Delivery systems. Commanders and staffs consider and answer the following delivery systems questions with respect to multinational operations. What is the desired order of arrival of fire support assets? What are the characteristics, capabilities, and quantity of fire support assets, including range, tactical and operational mobility, and authorized munitions? What is the multinational policy for survey, meteorology, and calibration? Weapons. Commanders and staffs consider and answer the following weapons questions with respect to multinational operations. What is the capability and interoperability of multinational munitions to include proofing compatibility and ballistic data contained in fire control computers? What are the planned ammunition stocks and expenditure rates? What are the key interoperability constraints? Are there any special ammunition handling, storage, and environmental considerations or national limitations on the employment of weapons or weapon systems? Do the weapons depend on GPS signals for accuracy? What is the status or accuracy of the GPS signal predicted to be during operations? Are there any occupational health and safety constraints? Are volumetric blast munitions available? If so, what are the constraints on their employment? What non-lethal weapons are available, and are there any national restrictions on their use? Command. Commanders and staffs consider and answer the following command questions with respect to multinational operations. What are the multinational levels of command? What will be the command relationships for fire support assets? What is the command arrangement for conducting multinational long-range fires? What are the liaison arrangements? Control. Commanders and staffs consider and answer the following control questions with respect to multinational operations. Will terrain requirements to support offensive operations be considered in the overall deconfliction of real estate by the G3 or S3? What operational environment control procedures deconflict air, aviation, indirect fire, and unmanned aircraft system assets? What operational management requirements exist in relation to electromagnetic warfare? What is the policy for using indirect fire systems using non-precision munitions in the ROE? What is the policy for using obscurance and illumination in the ROE? Engineer planning. Commanders and staffs consider and answer the following engineer planning questions with respect to multinational operations. What is the engineer command structure for the mission? What are the engineer coordination interfaces? When will these coordination measures take effect? What are the capabilities of the Allies' engineer forces? Have these capabilities been passed on to other multinational forces? Who is the lead nation, and what force engineer capabilities is the lead nation providing? What capabilities is the host nation providing? What multinational documents and agreements apply to the mission, such as ABCAN standards? What are the technical standards for the mission, and who is the technical authority? What are the specific AO characteristics that affect interoperability, such as severe climatic conditions? Who is the lead nation for mapping? Who is maintaining the common map database? Are engineers involved in targeting to assess or estimate the work required to repair infrastructure and utilities? Are engineers involved in clearing the area and route of mines and unexploded ordnance at the end of the hostilities? What are the phases and flow of engineer units, capabilities, and materiel to the mission area to support the plan? Is this flow reflected in the multinational time-phased force and deployment list? Are there any specific multinational engineer capabilities that could facilitate deployment? Is there a clear multinational engineer control structure to facilitate force deployment and reception? Has a common multinational facility survey been conducted and coordinated at the force engineer level? Is an engineer materiel management system in place? What is the agreed command critical engineer resources list? What are the multinational funding arrangements for multinational engineer tasks? Are there engineer contracts with the host nation or other contractors outside the host nation? What is the host nation actually providing in terms of engineer services? How is engineer effort coordinated in the theater of operations? What is the multinational engineer priority of work? What are the control mechanisms to affect common engineer tasks in the multinational force? Who is conducting the environmental health site assessment? Who is conducting the environmental baseline survey? Execution. Commanders and staffs consider and answer the following execution questions with respect to multinational operations. Have there been any modifications to the engineer command structure? What are the ongoing new engineer support agreements? What multinational documents and agreements apply to the mission, such as STANAGS and ABCAN standards? What, if anything, is the impact of non-governmental organizations and CAO activity in the theater of operations on the engineer plan? What are the interoperability disconnects between multinational engineer partners? Are they being addressed? What are the intra-theater engineer coordination mechanisms? Are these mechanisms capturing lessons learned and informing all nations to allow intra-theater adaptations to doctrine and new problems? Are there any host nation cultural constraints and restrictions that could impact multinational engineer operations? FM 3-16, 15 July 2024, by order of the Secretary of the Army, Randy A. George, General, United States Army Chief of Staff. Official, signed, Mark F. Avril, Administrative Assistant to the Secretary of the Army.